Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, we talk about our feelings, the week that was leap year 2024. This is Apathetic Enthusiasm. Hello, everybody. My name is Travis.
Hey, everybody. My name is Brandon. And welcome to a, you know, every episode we say is a special episode because
this
every
one is not.
Every, which makes it special in a way, right?
Because in a way, it's special by in its lack of speciality.
Because if every episode is special, the ones that aren't special make them different, which make them special.
You know, Brandon, when you're right, you're right. And when you're right, you should go on X. Where all of the people are right all the time. You can follow us at Apathusiast. I am at Jugglemino. He is at Barnyard Cruise.
Yep.
You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/apatheticenthusiasmshow. You can send us an email, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. On Instagram, apathetic_enthusiasm. And then there's our website, apatheticenthusiasm.com. We have a YouTube. You can see video versions of all of our podcasts over at youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. And of course, as always, our Patreon is patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Thanks to all the patrons following us over there, tuning in for those post shows, and just, you know, having a good time, you know, hitting us up on Discord from time to time.
Yeah.
Occasionally.
On occasion. Yeah.
On a rare occasion.
You can find us live on Twitch, twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm. I know that's a lie because we don't go live.
Yeah,
anymore.
We don't really stream. I think a lot about playing Pixelborn on Twitch. I've thought about doing this on my own Twitch. You know, not as to sully our brand with such shenanigans, but yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. That's how you can find us. That's the podcast, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, yeah. We both appreciate it. And until next time, I'm Brandon.
Should we do the Lorcana minute up front? I feel like we should do
the
Lorcana.
Let's do the Lorcana minute up front.
This is the highlight of my week. I mean,
Let's do it up front.
So as avid listeners of the podcast know, I am addicted to a relatively new trading card game called Disney's Lorcana. And a new series came out a couple of weeks ago. I got new cards. Things are great. I go every Saturday with my son to a local game store where I play casually in what is known as a Lorcana League. Organized league play where you get points and you accumulate points week to week for the promise of prizes. And this last weekend was a prize weekend, so they're giving out enamel pins, promotional cards, other little goodies and stuff. And there was quite the turnout, quite the turnout at Lore Connell League. There's some weeks where there's only 4 to 6 people. Mm-hmm. There were easily like 14 people there.
Whoa.
It was wild.
Wait, we were 4 to 6 to 16 to 14 to 16.
It was about 14 ish. I think was the max number of people that showed up.
Okay.
This weekend. And I got to play, somebody I knew like was there. I got to see them.
By the way, those are like professional Lore Connell numbers right there.
Oh yeah, those aren't you better watch out the rest of the world. It's a small group. But anyway, this is not what was the most exciting thing for me this week. What was most exciting is while I was there, I decided my son was buying some cards. I thought, you know what? I'll pick up a couple packs because there's still some cards from the new series I don't have, obviously, and maybe I can get a couple of additional cards. Just buy a couple of packs. They're like, you know, $6 a piece or something like
sure,
that.
Sure, yeah. Right? Yeah, $6.
Yeah. And as with almost all trading card games, you have like different types of cards, different levels of rarity. For Lore Connell, you have common cards and uncommon cards. Then you right. have your rares, your super rares, your legendaries.
Standard.
And then they have the cards that everybody is chasing, right? These are the enchanted cards. They are alternate versions of like I think 9 of the cards from the collection that have art, like a different art style. It's a full art card. They're shiny, like foil type cards. And these cards are very rare, hard to find. And as I am opening my first of those two packs, sitting amongst the other Lore Connell people, I open what was my first ever enchanted card.
Wow. That's like a common card, right?
Yeah, it's so common. Everybody has them.
Yeah.
Out of all of the packs that I've opened, and it's been a few, I pulled my first enchanted card, which was the only enchanted item, because mostly they're characters, but I got the Sorcerer's Hat card. So
Oh my God, you got it sealed even.
I mean, it's not sealed. It's just in like a top loader.
You got it. I mean, you got it graded.
It's graded already.
You took it to CGC already.
I immediately sent it to PSA or whatever.
You drove to CGC.
I drove to Las Vegas. I didn't even get my enamel pins. But it was really weird because it was like, oh shoot, like it didn't happen at home, it didn't happen in my car while I was driving. It was just I was like, okay, I'm gonna sleeve this up real quick, put it away. And the first thing that the guy who I knew sitting across from me, he's like, you gonna hold on to that, you think, or what do you plan to do with that? I did check its value. It's currently going for a little over $100 on trading card player website or whatever.
Let me get this straight, Travis. You found a card that's worth, say, an even 100.
Sure.
So you finally broke even.
I said it.
You finally broke even with Lore Connell. You finally broke even.
I have not.
That $100 is what you've put into the game so far.
Because this is not even part of, like, this is a small smattering of the collection of cards. These are just the unsleeved cards that are not in decks from the booster box that I got a couple weeks ago. So,
all right,
but I'm having fun.
Congrats,
it was very exciting. My son was super excited because we've been kind of chasing after an enchanted card since we started playing. So that was super fun, and
quick question.
And if you're in the market for a Sorcerer's Hat enchanted card.
Quick question, Travis. If you are looking for say a dragon in the deck in the Lore Connell, would you say you're chasing the dragon? Would you say
I wouldn't say that.
Okay, would somebody say that?
I don't know. People say a lot of weird things.
Okay. All right. No, that's cool, man. Congratulations. It's the equivalent of, I'd say, being at a convention, a comic convention, and then seeing one of the pops in the wild. You're like, oh, that's a pop. and you're like, I could buy this online, certainly. But
oh yeah.
But it's
yeah.
not the same. It's not the same as finding it. The magic of discovery, the Lorcana of discovery.
Yeah. Well, and it was cool because it wasn't like and obviously listeners of this podcast that don't like us for who we are. I have already turned this episode off. And I appreciate that.
Bye, Bob Carroll.
But this is like trading card games is not something that everybody appreciates, right? It's I sent a text to my wife and I was like, is she even gonna care? She was excited for me because she likes me, I guess. And said she was genuinely excited for us to find that. But you know, you talk to most people and it's like, okay, so you pulled a pretty card out of a deck, like neat, I guess. Good job. And then there's other people at work that you're like, oh, I pulled an enchanted this weekend. And they're like, holy crap. And let me see pictures and all this stuff. Right. So, so it is a niche fandom, but, it is a fandom I am certainly a part of right now. And, so I'm fun. I just got my ass handed to me at the game though. One of the guy that I knew, he used to be a Yu-Gi-Oh player.
Oh,
and he like went to like professional tournaments in Vegas and stuff like that. So he has a history of competitive card games like this. Sat down across from me with the decks that he had built and just wiped the floor with me. Two straight games just annihilated me. Like the first game, I feel like he beat me in 5 minutes. I was like, okay, well, it's good seeing you. and then I started playing somebody else. So yeah, but it was fun. What'd you do this weekend?
Well, let me go into that was the Lorcana minute. Yeah. Let me go into
join us on the post show over at patreon.com/enthusiasm for more Lorcana content.
So let's go into the
someone just unsubscribed from Patreon after I said that.
The weekend vacation minute.
Yeah. Griswold family vacation
brought to you by American Airlines. So, Chelsea, my wife, and my son, we'll call him Bexatron, Bex for short. Yes. we'll call him Bex. And as a matter of fact, I'm probably going to go outside this room right now and yell, Bex, go to bed. one of my friends is. I was in the Air Force. I was in the Space Force. I don't know if you know this, Travis.
You went to the moon?
I did. I met Steve Carell. That's the joke. Wow. Jazz hands. So I retired.
That's a real branch of the military.
Boots Space to the moon? Force. Jazz hands. Oh yeah.
Space Force. That's real.
It is, yeah. Full disclosure, everybody, yes, Space Force is a real branch. It is a branch that broke off of the Air Force, similar to how the Air Force broke off from the Army in 1947 to form its own branch of service. Well, the Space Force...
Air Force is a real branch?
Yes, they broke off from the Navy. Navy's a real branch?
I thought it was just Coast Guards all the way down.
Poor Coast Guards. No one cares about them. A friend of mine.
You were a spaceman. Got it.
I was a spaceman. Yes. Yeah. So a friend of mine who, we were both at the tippity top of the enlisted, promotion track. So like enlisted, it goes E1 through E9. Him and I were both E8s. So that's as high as you can go, without going to E9, which is the highest you can't go.
Why didn't you go to E9?
Well, I didn't go to E9. One, because I didn't make it. I wasn't good enough. And two, I've decided.
I don't believe that for a second.
Break. 22 years. Let's go ahead and retire from the military and go into the rest of my adult life. Well, he had only been in for 17 years at that point in time. So he had a couple years to go. Well, he finally made E9, as we call it, Chief Master Sergeant in the Air Force and Space Force. And we both missed E9 a couple different times together, and we were both frustrated that we didn't. It was like, we're doing everything we can, and our scores are not increasing at all. And so we call ourselves Team 720 because of combined our scores. 360 were our scores times by 360 plus 360, 720. So we're Team 720. Well, so when he got promoted, is that right? Is that right?
Did I do
that?
I don't know. Makes sense.
Sounds right.
Yeah. Numbers.
So when he got promoted, he's like, "Hey, I want you to be at my ceremony." I'm like, all right, yeah, I'll be there. And so it was this weekend. It was this weekend up in Washington D.C. And his ceremony was in the Pentagon. So after 22 years of not being in the Pentagon ever, I got to take Chelsea and Bexatron to the Pentagon. And so flew up there to D.C. Went to the Pentagon, saw the ceremony, had you know, reception and all that. It was good stuff. So and then Saturday we did a little bit of exploring, but there's so many more details to the story. I just had to give the context. I just had to give the context.
So someone turned 9
mm-hmm.
After 720 years,
mm-hmm.
and they got married in a five-sided building.
That's right, five-sided die. Cool. We played D&D just with five-sided dies. it was very convoluted. And, anyways, so we flew up to DC from LAX and we flew in first class. Okay. This is
life's been good to me so far,
very, very expensive, but the point of this, it's not a flex that we flew first class, because this is part of the adventure of traveling. Fly first class. We're in the first row, seats 1, 2, and 3. Oh, like right up there. Like it's a straight shot, straight flight, no stops from LAX to DC. It's gonna be wonderful.
Living.
So we get in there. We're there. The flight takes off. In first class, they're supposed to do a couple things. One, they're supposed to take your drink order as soon as you sit down. And they're supposed to say, these are the meals that we have later. Which meal do you want? We had a guy who's a tall, burly, blonde guy, asked us neither of those questions at the start. Okay, that's fine. You know, we didn't board in priority. We got there maybe about like 10 minutes before the flight took off. So I was like, okay, maybe he missed taking the orders from us, right? Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. So the flight takes off. He comes up and he's like, do you want something? to me, Chelsea, and Braxton.
What are you doing on this plane?
and Chelsea says, yeah, I'll take a Bloody Mary double. All right. He goes, he walks off, comes back. He brings her a can of tomato juice, a glass with ice, and then 3 bottles of the vodka. Okay, that's not a double. That's a triple. That's fine. But then, you know, like he doesn't set the bottles down on the tray. He just like kind of like
throws them.
He just like lets them roll off of his hand. Right? Okay. So then he turns to me and he says, do you want something? I'll take the same thing she has. Huh? Like as if he couldn't hear me. Like get the same thing she. Oh, okay. He goes off. Does the same thing to me.
Brings 3 cans of tomato juice
and lets them roll out of his hand nonchalantly. Okay. All right. Yeah, whatever. A little bit later, I look over at Chelsea and she has like a portable battery. Right. And I've got I got some new AirPod Pros. And so I can't really hear what's going on.
Life's been good to me.
I look over at Chelsea and she's got the flight attendant hands her like a battery charger. Right. And so I'm thinking, oh, like she needs to charge her iPad. And so he gave her a battery pack. Right. So she turns to me, she hands me the battery pack and she's like, can you plug this in? Do you have a plugger over on your side? I'm like, I do. I'm like, I don't know why I'm plugging.
Did she say plugger?
Yeah, I couldn't hear. I had the AirPod Pros in.
Amazing noise canceling features.
It sounded more like this. So I tried plugging in, and my plugger's not working really all that well. So I handed back to her. I'm like, I can't plug it in. I don't really know what you want. I thought she was like, maybe she had to charge the battery so she could charge her iPad. I wasn't really sure. I was drunk. And
he rolled three bottles of vodka your tray.
So I handed back to her. So hold on to that note for the rest of the story. Okay.
Okay.
A battery charger, a portable battery charger.
Battery charger.
So
a fire hazard waiting to happen.
Yes. So maybe about like 30 minutes later, he comes into the cabin again, and he's got his phone in his hand, and he says to Chelsea, how old's your son? 12.
Like, 27.
You think you can look at my phone and see what's wrong with it? Uh-huh. And she says, Brandon's the IT guy. You might want to check with him.
he's the resident IT guy.
So the guy hands me his phone. He's like, I've got T-Mobile, and it says my SIM is locked. It started yesterday. I'm not sure why. Like, I did something and it said the SIM is locked. So, you know, I'm not really sure what to do. You know, can you take a look at it? I'm like, what else am I doing on a flight?
You want something?
Can you hear me now? So I have internet. I have internet on my real phone. So I'm like, okay, I'm IT, but I don't troubleshoot T-Mobile phones for a living.
No, that's your full-time job.
Yeah, I'm AT&T. I don't troubleshoot T-Mobile. They have a different, it's a different technology. And so I Google SIM card locked. And it shows, it's like, if your SIM card is locked, it's locked. You have to go back to the carrier in order to unlock it. So I'd say, hey, you got to take this back to T-Mobile and get it unlocked. He's like, oh man. Yeah. Okay. All right. Are you sure there's nothing that I can do? Like, no, here's my phone that works with Google. It says you got to take it to T-Mobile. He's like, oh, yeah. All right. Okay. So now
just luxuriating in first class somewhere over the Rocky Mountains.
So then a little bit later, he brings us up. They have like the basket of chips and nuts. And he like shakes it in front of us, like, take as many as you want. Okay, cool. Thanks.
Like the Cool House on Halloween. Take two handfuls. I don't care.
Just take as many as you want. And then a little bit later, the meal. He never asked us what meal we wanted. He's like, you can get an omelet or with cheese or yogurt. And then he brought us the omelet with yogurt no matter what. So that was weird as well. Okay. So now,
listen, he's there for safety. He's not a four-star, waiter.
No, you're right.
There for the safety of the people and the passengers on that aircraft.
It's first class, not fourth class, right? And
if this is how first class was, imagine how those jokers back in coach were doing.
I'm saying okay,
they're just getting stuff thrown at them.
This is the
last they get anything at all.
The last little bit of this first class story is we walk off, and Chelsea says, that guy was awful. I'm like, yeah, he was. I was like, but I mean, at least he gave you a charger. She's like, no, he didn't give me a charger. He came up to me and said, can you charge this for me in your socket? So paraphrasing there, but he asked Chelsea to charge his portable charger. He got me to do his IT support, and he shook a bag of chips at us and rolled vodka.
You served this guy more than he served you first class.
He was awful. Nothing will happen, but I'm gonna complain to American Airlines, be like, come on. Like, basically, I spent my child's savings to go to DC. I didn't want to go anyway. So that's part one of the story.
Yeah.
All right.
So then Joe Walsh picks you up in his Maserati.
Mm-hmm. Does 185.
Yeah.
But he lost his license.
he just doesn't drive.
Now on the way back, Travis, it was going to be a straight flight. We weren't doing.
Hold on, you skipped a whole segment of this vacation, which
I got to do all the worst parts. I got to do all the worst parts.
Okay.
We went to the Spy Museum. The Spy Museum was pretty cool. This is in the middle. Spy Museum was cool. Saw a lot of spy stuff. I was like, ooh, that's right. I want to watch Breach again because that was a good movie. Ryan Phillippe about one of the spies in the FBI. Pretty good movie. Based on a true story. Anyway, lots of spy stuff is pretty good and morbid. Brexton and I helped President Obama, Vice President Biden, Admiral McMullen, and the rest of the team determine, was it bin Laden in there? These are the types of decisions you have to make as a leader to determine the confidence level. That's right.
Sounds like a slightly dated exhibit, but.
Oh, no, it wasn't.
Still relevant.
It wasn't. It was like it was interactive. So like there's like a screen in the middle. There's like the bin Laden's compound and it asked you questions. It was like, this is the intel that we got about where bin Laden was. And we had to make the determination to President Obama whether or not we should raid the compound or not. Here's the evidence. And like press a button, like, who do you think this might be? And it gave you four different options. It was like bin Laden, a businessman, a criminal, and then some like a random guy. And it was like, who do you think it is based off of these factors? And then at the very end, it was like, okay, so now you have to gauge your confidence level. Do you think based off that, would you have recommended to the president that it was bin Laden? And you know, it was like either like not confident, confident, or 50-50. And
is your son old enough to troubleshoot a locked SIM card? Maybe they could be an intel analyst and identify the location of Osama bin Laden.
He was confident. He was like Admiral McMullen and he was like, yeah, I'm confident. That's bin Laden. I was more
we got him.
I was more of a Biden, and I was not confident. I was not confident. And Chelsea was an Obama, like 50-50. But Obama decided to take him out. So, you know, those are the types of things you experience at the Spy Museum.
Spy Museum.
So we did that. So that was fun. Now, of course, we saw like the Lincoln Monument, the Washington Monument. Had some really good
food.
All the
monuments.
Yeah.
They have all of them there.
That's really good. Oh, okay. So here's a situation we had. So we're at we get to the Lincoln Monument, we walk there, and we're like, okay, let's take a lift to a restaurant, right? And so get a lift on my phone. the it's like, okay, John will be there in 5 minutes. Okay, cool. So we're waiting. 5 minutes passes, the car's getting closer. I can see it on the app, and then it cancels. John's gone. John, for some reason, John canceled. Like, God, dang it.
Somebody needs to go find John.
Well, here, what happens next is the next part of the story, which is, I'm like, it says like the next person that will be there is like in 9 minutes. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm waiting. While we're waiting, this black car shows up. It's a black, maybe Lincoln Continental. I don't know. And it's got, in the window, it's got an Uber sticker and it's got a Lyft sticker on it. Okay. And the guy pulls up. He's like, you guys need a ride? I'm like, yeah, we do. Like, yeah. Who do you have? Lyft. Okay. Hop in. Okay. As soon as we hop in, I'm like, Uber sticker, Lyft sticker. Okay. I'm looking at my app. What has Lyft? This guy's car is not showing up on it. And I'm like, we might get trafficked right now. We might get human trafficked right now.
I might have just put my entire family in serious danger.
This might be a problem. And so we start driving and he's like, oh, there's the Jefferson Memorial. There's this memorial. Like, oh, here's this. Here's this.
We were just there.
How long are you guys staying in town for? We're leaving the next morning. We're leaving in a couple days is what I say.
Because you were just at the Spy Museum. So you know how to.
I was just at the Spy Museum. Drive another block. He's like, oh, where are you guys staying at? Oh, we're at the Radisson in Pentagon City. Oh, cool. No, we were at.
They were, in fact, not staying at the Radisson.
We were at Pentagon City. The Hilton. And Brexton is right next to me. And he's like nudging me. He's like, what? No. No, we're not at the Radisson. I'm like, shut up.
Stop blowing my cover.
Shut up.
Super spy.
Shut up. You were just at the Spy Museum, stupid.
Just holding his mouth like.
With a pillow over. I'm like, this shady guy. I'm like, so then we get to the destination. And I was like, okay, so I had Lyft.
Thanks for the free ride.
It could have been like that. Like, thanks for is it so Lyft? He's like, yeah. I'm like, so how do I pay you? Like, cash, credit. You're like, oh, okay. Like, how much? How much is the ride? You're like, however much you want to give me. Like, all right, here's a couple bucks. See you later. He's like, oh, you know, if you want to ride back, what time you need to ride back? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know how long the dinner's going to be, but do you have a card? And then he gave me a card. And I was like, thanks, Isaac. Put that here in case any FBI agents ask me for it later.
I've heard of these, you know, types of entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. if you will, who, you know, they drive for Uber, they drive for Lyft. This happened to my mom when she was on a trip where the Uber driver that was taking her from the airport to her hotel was like, yeah, if you need a ride back to the airport some other time or need other rides, here's my card. If you text me or whatever, I will come and pick you up and I'll drive you, right? So I think because, you know, gig economy type situation, you have a significant amount of money that Uber or Lyft are taking, you know, mm-hmm. out of every fare. They're like, all right, let's cut them out. Like, you need a ride? I got a car. Give me a call. Just pay me directly. I think there's definitely probably some risks with aspects of that.
I would say so.
Maybe a few. But I don't know. I don't know. It seems, I don't know. We grew up our whole lives having our parents tell us, don't get in cars with strangers. And now there is an entire multi-million-dollar like industry designed about that very concept.
You know, it's interesting you say that don't get in the cars with strangers thing. Because that's a part of the there's a part of my travel story that relates to, which is obviously this guy who's has an Uber and a Lyft sticker in his window, but Uber and Lyft sticker in his window. But I don't know, I froze, so I don't know.
You said there's a part of me, and then you froze. The podcast listener might have missed that with some clever editing. Uh-huh. Should Brandon be so inclined? You may have
not going to do it.
But now, because I've talked about it and I've spoke about it so much, the edit is not of value, because for the YouTube viewer, they just see Brandon freeze, and then me just get all disgruntled. And, you know, just rage quit for a second.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't get in cars with strangers? Wait, what were you saying?
When I'm flying, when I'm traveling, I have this thing where I don't read as much on my when I'm at home. I'd like to read more, but I don't. I just don't. There's
you
other don't.
You
things.
You play Baldur's Gate.
That's right. when I'm at the airport, I'm traveling, I'm like, okay, this is a good time to read because I'm going to be on a plane doing nothing for a long time. I might as well read in between sleeping. And so I went to one of the bookstores in the airport in DC, and a book jumped out to me, and it was a book about digital body language. The digital body language, it's basically like written by an elder millennial like us, and it's talking about like the digital age and like email writing, like tone in email, tone in text, that type of stuff, how different people communicate in that. And she wrote about always being told as a kid, don't get into cars with strangers. Like, she was a kid and like, she was walking to school and somebody pulled up next to her and was like, do you need a ride? And she ran because she'd been taught, don't get into cars with strangers.
I'm about to get murdered.
But then as an adult, like, her college roommate's like, yeah, let's take an Uber, you know, let's take a Lyft. And then she like had modified her life to be like, no, this is actually okay because this gig economy, like this is what happens. And this book, it's a good book, but that reminds me of that specific section of that book.
Yeah, it's really strange. Like, it makes sense on a, like the business model makes sense in so many ways. But there's so much like risk to it that we just like, yeah, no, that's fine. And I'm sure like Uber drivers, there's some sort of like background check or something. Like, they have to like at least make sure they're licensed drivers or something. And there's nothing like, I don't know, they don't have kidnapping convictions on their record or something. I would hope that's something that those industries do.
They get a 2-star for kidnapping. They're you were, I
really
was gonna,
lowers your rating.
I was gonna give you a 3, but then you drugged me.
So I mean, yeah, it's, but I take Ubers. I've done it.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So now, This is Brandon's vacation.
The
minute.
Episode.
This is the entire episode.
I can't wait to make an image for this episode. It's like it's you in first class.
So we
with Joe Walsh.
So now it's Sunday morning. I can't get to sleep until like 12:30 the night before. I was like, oh crap, go to sleep. I finally get to sleep. Then I wake up at 4:30. The shuttle leaves the hotel at 6. And so get the family up. We're all up. We're getting stuff done. Go downstairs. 6 in the morning. We're waiting outside. It's freezing. It's not freezing, but it's very, very cold in DC. And as the shuttle pulls up, get an update on my American Airlines app. We're supposed to depart at 8:00. Look at it. Delayed. 3 p.m.
Oh, my goodness.
A very, very long delay. Like, oh, crap. Oh, already checked out. So, like, we're like, we could probably go back in, but might as well just go to the airport. We'll go to the USO or do something and hang out for a bit. So we get to the airport. And then I had this bright idea. I'm like, you know what? We're on vacation. The American Airlines has the Admiral's Lounge. It's like $75 per person for, you know, life's been good. Like, okay, screw it. Let's just do this. We're going to be here for a long time. Might as well spend the money because we'll probably spend the money anyways just going to restaurants and drinking, right? So we go
plus
in there.
It's more comfortable in there. It's quieter.
Yeah. Like. Yeah. 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 So we did that, went up there, a two-part story, multiple-part story. But the first part is we were there for a while, and then we're like, oh, let's go into like one of the more quiet areas. So it's one of the more quiet areas. It's nice and cool in there. Okay. There's a couple guys talking, and they're talking in hushed tones. Chelsea, Brexton, and I, we go in there and we set our stuff down. We sit down. Get, you know, good. There's another guy who's sitting to the left of me by himself, like against the wall, right? He's got his headphones in, and uh he that guy stands up and he starts walking away, and I hear a like, what the fuck? What just happened? I turn to Chelsea, like, I think that guy just farted. I just think he just blew one up. Like, really? Like, yeah. It was loud. It wasn't even like, he wasn't even hiding it. I'm just like, oh, geez. So then he comes back. I'm like, maybe he's done, right? So it's we're back to quieted, hushed tones. And he's sitting there. And I've got my AirPods in, my AirPod Pros in. Yeah. And, you know, the great thing about the sound.
Ones, the ones that can block out the sound of a 747 flying across the United States.
They certainly can. But the thing about the transparency mode is when things like sound like conversation, or like every once in a while sound, it bleeds through. So hush tones. Okay. Oh, it's pretty quiet. But like in a more muffled, it was like a, but like a boom. It was like bass, but I wasn't listening to music. So I'm like, where'd the bass come from? Oh, it's from my left ear. It's where the guy's sitting. He just farted again. Like, geez, what the hell? Right. Okay. So I'm like, well, I don't know what's going on with this guy. He keeps doing it. But then he stands up, and it's free food in the Admiral's Lounge, right? It's a free,
yeah, free. You know,
you pay for it. Yeah.
Free.
But the meal was you, there's a bunch of chips and then pita chips. Okay. Now, he comes back with cheese and pita chips. And then, as he's eating these pita chips, and he's not
eating like a Minecraft character,
and he's not eating like a one at a time, like, or he's like, not one at a time. No, he's like taking handfuls of, I'm like shoveling them into his mouth, and I can hear it through my sound.
Your noise canceling.
It's going like click 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 click. And I take my phone. I'm reading a book. I'm reading that body language book. And I take my phone. I'm like, I check a message, but then I'm like, then I pretend like I'm like just having the phone. And I start recording, and I'm just like, and so I record this dude just shoveling food into his mouth. I'm like, what is going on with this guy? So then Chelsea gets up, and she goes up to him, and she says, "Excuse me. I don't know if you know, but I think these guys over there are doing business deals and you're farting really loudly." And yeah, he left a couple minutes later. So so that's that part of the story.
Oh, Chelsea. Class act every time.
So we did that. He left. That was fun. And then the final part of that trip is we're main cabin plus, and we make it We make it through the whole trip. No issues. Like our flight attendant, way better than the first class flight attendant we had on the way there. We told her as much. We're like, you are a godsend. Thank you so much. So we're landing. Okay. We land, we're taxiing to the tarmac. And this guy, I'm in the middle seat. The guy behind me in the row right behind us at the window goes, like the wettest sneeze you can imagine, right? And then, all right, we're still taxiing. We get to the gate. We're waiting for the bridge. It's going to be about 5 more minutes.
Jeez.
And Chelsea's like, get us the fuck out of here. And it was like, of course, the last 10 minutes of this trip is when we're going to get COVID. Yeah. Anyways, he's dead. And Planet of the Apes happened.
That's how it happened. That's how it happened.
Anyways, yeah. So we're back now. It was a good vacation overall. Good experiences. Yeah. And we had
fantastic.
We had Korean food last night, and I smell like kimchi.
Oh, yeah. That's I mean, I'm glad you had a good trip. I hope you had lots of fun in our nation's capital. Got to see cool things and lots of spies. And I'm excited for me to spend all the time talking next week, because I'm going on a trip this weekend. But mine's gonna be a road trip, not first class, but we'll be in like a recreational vehicle. So I'm sure that I'm sure just like so many movies from the 90s and early 2000s, a road trip is just ripe for phenomenal stories. I'll bring a journal. I'll keep this notes.
This is AE's vacation march.
Do you have a good leap day?
I did have a good leap day. Yeah, let's talk about the main thing for this week's episode.
Our leap day podcast.
Our leap day podcast. Yeah, I was traveling.
Yeah, you were flying. That's not actually the question I had for you. I want to close out this episode. Coming back to a topic I think that we discussed last week, and either on the podcast or maybe it was in the post show, but we were talking about board games. We were talking about Board Game Arena,
yeah,
and the fact that you play a lot of board games online, asynchronously with your coworkers, your friends,
yeah,
and other people that you care about, and then occasionally me. I was giving you a hard time about the fact that you were playing so many board games, but hadn't invited me to any. And so after that episode, that Monday night, you were generous, gracious enough to start inviting me to some board games. And the first board game that you invite me to, is it King of Tokyo? Is it Settlers of Catan? Is it Azul? Is it Wingspan? No. None of these. We're not playing Ticket to Ride. We are playing... I still don't even know how to pronounce the game.
Maracaibo.
Maracaibo. All right. You invite me to a game I've never heard of. It is my turn, like, starting. And I open this up, and there are no less than three boards. Like, multiple sets of cards. All sorts of icons that represent things. I don't know what they mean. And I'm like, you know what? It's not the first time I played a complicated board game. Pretty good about playing board games, actually. I'll just look up how to play it and I'll figure it out and it'll be just fine. Mind you, this is like midnight on Monday. I'm working the next day. I need to go to bed. I open up the instruction booklet that I find online for this game. And it's like 20 pages long. And I'm like, and it's like tiny text. And I was like, all right, no, I'm not reading this. I'll just look up a YouTube video. This is like a day later now because, you know, I've passed out at this point.
Right.
I kid you not, there is not an explainer video for how to play this board game that is less than like an hour long. That I've found, that I've been able to discover. But I know my good friend Brandon, he loves him some board games. And what drives him crazy when that person he's playing with doesn't take their dang turn? So I figured, you know what? I can take a couple of inaugural turns initially while I figure out how to play. It won't have a big impact on the overall game. I'll just take a couple turns. Kind of BS my way through it. Board Game Arena is really good at like highlighting different things that you need to click on. I got this.
I'll figure out in a couple of turns.
Dear listener, I have been doing this for a week. We are, I think, 40% through this game because it's played in like four phases. And I legitimately still don't know what's happening in this board game, and I've been playing it for a week.
The only thing I know about this game is you're in the Caribbean and you're like you're sailing around to various islands and you
different ports of call.
Ports of call. And like you there's different cards that you have and like different like you can be like an explorer, like you could fight, I think, somehow. Maybe I don't know. I haven't done it yet. You can buy cards, you get money, you can deliver goods. I sometimes go to a new island and it's like, okay, now you have to explore. I'm like, okay, cool. And
it took me like 30 minutes to figure out how to explore.
I don't know how to explore still. I'm just like, you know what? I can't figure it out. Undo turn. And I just go to a different island.
If you, the main board that has the island on it, there's like a path on the bottom.
Yeah.
And if you have to explore, you move a token along that path. That's explored.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
As an expert, as a resident expert of the game.
It took me
30 minutes to find the one highlighted bit of board on my phone in the middle of the night. And I'm like,
Board Game Arena, they come up with so many games, right? And a lot of them, there are a lot of games and people, when a game comes out that a lot of people like, they're like, yes, oh my God, this game is so good. This is such a great game. So Maracaibo was recently released and people were like, this is such a good game. And so that same night that you were, you know, guilt tripping me for not playing board games with you, I was like, Absolutely. Sizemore's not a great person to play complicated games with or new games with because he's like, I don't know what I'm doing. Let's play King of Tokyo. And I don't like my friend Jeff, like he probably would be good, but I'm still sussing him out to see.
He's easing him into it.
Yeah. So I'm like, Travis is good for playing new games, right? Like we know with a new game, if we're like, no, this is not a game we're ever going to play again. Right. So I'm like, let's try this with Travis. This is a game that I think would be fun if it was in person. And we read the rules.
Yeah.
But maybe not in person. It seems like Ruins of Arnak. I think that was like another one. It's like, yeah.
That game had potential. I think if we had, I picked up on, well, I learned the game a little bit faster. I actually watched one of the YouTube videos on how to play it. So I was like, oh, okay, I kind of get what the premise is. I still don't know what my end goal is on this game. I don't know what I'm trying to achieve. One of the icons I think might be like victory points. So I'm trying to get a lot of those. I don't know how to get them. And I don't know if that's actually the win condition, but I intend to have the most of those by the end of the game.
When it told me to explore, I was like, I don't know how to do this. I Googled it, how to explore in Maracaibo. And it took me to a website for the Tourist Bureau of Maracaibo because it's a real place and places to explore. And I was like, great. This isn't helping me undo turn.
my favorite part about this whole story is the fact that you and I, we chat regularly. We generally only talk face to face for the couple hours on Monday night when we record this podcast, and then as we do post shows and hang out and talk afterwards. Otherwise, it's chats. And for this week, the only other communication is taking turns in a board game silently and without discussion. That's what Brandon did. And now here is the turn I am taking. And the fact that we went an entire week both not understanding a board game that we were playing.
Nope.
But continuing diligently to take our turns and move the progress of the game along.
And you're beating me. You're beating me pretty badly.
Maybe
I think
I am. I don't know.
I don't know how to get victory points in this stupid game. But we are playing now Here are the games that I'm playing, multiplayer games that I'm playing. I've got my Rise 8 friends that I play some games with. Matt, I play King of Tokyo, and I play Ticket to Ride with him every morning. It's a side story. When you're young, you're like, yeah, we're playing games every Friday, Saturday night. Ooh, we're staying up so late, getting drunk, playing games all night, video games, Grand Theft Auto. Now I wake up at like 4:30 and I come to my office with some coffee and Matt and I play Ticket to Ride for like an hour and a half.
Wild train card.
Like we traded.
That'll help me reach St. Louis.
We traded our youth of the night for the old men of the morning.
This coffee's bitter like the railroad industry.
So yeah, we do that. But now, and my friend Jeff, who I work with, got me into Splendor. We played Ticket to Ride, played King of Tokyo. So now, like, got him and Matt playing. And then now, guess what? Travis is in the mix. You're there. We're four people, Ticket to Ride. It's the slowest Ticket to Ride game.
I think I take one turn in that game a day.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't have enough yellows. Damn it.
Put down two trains.
Matt and I are like, give me two to the draw pile. Like, and then we like rotate it. We play so many turns in a 5 minute span. And then playing with you and Jeff and Matt, it's like, all right, give me two out of the draw pile. Well, I'll see you tomorrow.
Well, guess I'll go write the next great American novel. Yeah. I try to keep up with my turns. I don't always have access to my phone or things like that. It looks like you have taken turns during this podcast. Is it possible? Maybe that's other people.
No, not me. No. This is actually one of those rare times that I didn't actually take a turn during this podcast.
I made you talk the majority of this episode.
Yeah, that's true. You can tell when I'm paying attention, fair viewer, because I'm like, you can't on the podcast. You can't see what I'm doing.
The YouTube viewers will know when you're staring off screen.
It's a
going,
vacant stare.
Should I take a train card or should I?
But for the listener, right? Travis is talking, and I'm looking off to the side. I'm a yeah. Uh huh. Yeah. No. Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, keep going, Travis. Right, all those things that you like, I was doing that, and you probably couldn't tell, fair listener, because that's exactly what I do every episode. Basically, I'm just playing nothing but board games. Oh, my turn on Maracaibo. Anyway,
eventually we'll finish those board games. We'll have a full review in a future episode. I'm just sure of it. But until then, I think that's going to about wrap up this episode. Unless, Brandon, were there any other stories or things that you want to share with our listeners?
I can sail to Camargo. You know what? On the computer, I can actually see what these places are called.
I know. You're reminding me. I should try loading some of these games up in an actual computer and not just in my phone browser.
Yeah.
And see how that works. But
All right. No, I don't have anything else except to say thank you all for listening to this journey of mine and my family's to DC. We did get to ride the Metro. That's right. Yeah. That's right. We rode the Metro.
It's good.
That's all.
It's good. All right.
Oh, good. Oh, Brexitron. Okay. So let me proud dad moment. This is the last thing I'll say is, for Christmas, bought him a Dig Dug machine, a stand up arcade machine, right?
As one does.
He loves Dig Dug, right? He's good at Dig Dug. Well, for my friend's reception for his promotion ceremony, it was at this like pizza parlor. Well, at the pizza parlor, there was like a Namco Classics arcade machine there. Okay. And I looked over there. I'm like, oh, they got Dig Dug on there. And I asked him, like, you want to play Dig Dug? He's like, no, I've got a machine at home. I'm like, okay. All right. So I got a dollar, put in a change machine, got some change. It was 50 cents a play. Inflation, right?
Jeez.
Absurd.
This economy.
And so I put two quarters in And as I finish putting the second quarter in, Brex walks up to me. He's like, they have Dig Dug here? I'm like, yeah, they got Dig Dug. I'm like, do you want to play? He's like, yes. Oh, I'll play.
Win in Rome.
Win in Rome. Let me tell you. High score. He got the high score. 50 cents. He wiped the floor with that high score that was on there before. It was like 1500 before, and he was at like 36,000. He was incredible. You know, BJC. That's the initials there. Over in Crystal City, Nighthawk Pizza and Brewery. That's right. My kid, 50 cents. Fuck everybody.
It's a proud dad moment. It's a proud dad moment.
Yeah.
That's like my son scoring third place overall this Loracotta League season. You know?
Look at us.
Look at us. Look at us raising some good, high quality nerds.
That's like, it's not, these things aren't going to matter to anyone else ever, but it matters to them today.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're building connections with your kid. Ah, we're such great dads. All right. Play us out, Jill Walsh. Thanks everybody for being here. Like, rate, subscribe, do all the things. Join us next week for another episode. Until then, I'm Travis.
I'm Brandon. Bye.
Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.